Hello. Welcome to Restoration. This is Dr. Paul Looney. In this podcast, I use the word faith as an acrostic to help you see what you can gain by working the 12 steps. I'm joined by Joe Haven, who shares from his experience in working the steps to help you see the great value you can find along this path. Thanks for joining us. The 12 steps are something that many in this room have come to know and love. They have been, for decades, sort of the gold standard for people dealing with addiction to find freedom and recovery and help. And for those of us who have been members of the family of faith, who have been Christians for a long time, we found that they have moved us further in our life of faith. They've opened up some new vistas for us and given us a structure, a framework to support us in moving forward in God's plan. God promises that when we open our hearts to Him, that He will come and make His home in our hearts. The Bible says that if anyone becomes one with Christ, he is one spirit with Him. And I like to think that the spirit is the very core of a human. At our very core, we are in the same essence as God. He breathed life into us, and that breath became our spirit. And when we become a Christian, then God comes, and He makes His home in our heart. I'm going to make a little heart here. And we're going to say that that's where God resides when you give your life to Him. If you haven't ever done that, tonight could be your night. When you say, okay, God, I want you to inhabit the core of who I am. I want you to begin to take the reins of my life and to transform me. Well, what happens for a lot of us is we kind of camp out at salvation. We enjoy that sense of God claiming us as His own, coming to live in us and be with us, but we kind of stop there. Well, the sad thing about that is that we are not just spirit beings. The angels are spirits. We have flesh and blood. And the Bible says that God made us out of the dust of the ground and gave us a body. And when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. Okay. Now, the body is the physical part of us. It's the part of us that makes contact with the earth, that can see, hear, taste, touch, feel. It's the part of us that is in contact with the physical universe. The spirit is the part of us that's in contact with the spiritual universe, and our soul is kind of the processing ground. I like to think of the soul as the mind, our will, and our emotions. And what the 12 steps do for us in a very practical way is to help release the spirit from just inhabiting our heart to moving out into our body and into our mind, to take the reins of our will, to transform our emotions and to renew our mind, and to give us a new set of behaviors that are reflective of that life that is in our hearts, in our spirits, so that more and more we are inhabited, not just in the core, but in every cell of our body. And not just in our belief system, but in every thought that flows through our mind, that more and more we become in sync with the Spirit. We began to walk in step with the Spirit. And these are called 12 steps. The Bible talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. And if the 12 steps do what they're designed to do, they help us step up our game. They help us keep in step with the Holy Spirit and help us to live lives that reflect His character, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His toughness, and His tenderness. And so the 12 steps will release us to live a more powerful life of faith. Well, what are the things that that we get when we sign on for the 12 steps? And how many of you have already been through the 12-step process? Raise your hand high if you've been through the 12 steps. Look around, a bunch of people here. And they're still here, not because they didn't get any value, but simply because they found those steps to be powerful and effective, and they want to not only continue in step with the Spirit, but also to bring others into that way of life, that way of thought and behavior and belief. How many of you are considering signing up for this next round of step studies? Anybody kind of thinking about it? A few of you? Cool. I love that. Well, tonight I want to give you an idea of some of the things that you might be able to expect if you show up on Thursday night. First of all, you're going to get a focus. Faith needs focus. It's a good thing to come into the kingdom of God. But we need day by day to have a sense of focus, something to keep us on track. And the 12 steps give us that sense of focus and structure that will allow us to move forward. Another thing that, another F word that we're going to get if we sign on, is one that, okay. We are going to get in touch with feelings. Now, this is something that, as I thought about, I was talking to my sponsor, Mark Rodriguez, back there in the back. Wave your hand, Mark, who I both love and hate. Mark, you know, I was talking to Mark yesterday, the day before, and just going like, I don't know what I'm going to say. Well, I was whining pretty bad, right? So he was like, well, you know, talk about what the steps mean to you. And I was like, oh, you know, because right now what the steps have brought for me is a greater sense of my feelings. One of the things that I realize is that my addiction, whether it be people pleasing or sexual acting out, was a way of controlling my feelings so that I didn't have to feel my feelings. It was my goal not only to keep myself from feeling negative feelings, but to keep everyone that I love from feeling negative feelings. It was a big job, but it kept me busy. And it really worked. I didn't have to feel my sadness. I didn't have to feel my sense of disappointment when people didn't come through for me. I was always able to somehow blame myself or think I could do a better job or, you know, whatever, to keep from feeling some of those feelings of powerlessness, feelings of anger or hurt or loneliness. And so one of the things that you'll get, which you may not always appreciate, is a greater sense of connection with your feelings. But by doing that, you have an opportunity for more authenticity. If there's one thing that Jesus hated in the people of his day, was their hypocrisy, their phoniness, their throwing up a shield that made them look okay when really they were not okay. And so many of us use our addictions to make us feel okay or look okay when the reality is we are not okay. So authenticity is something you can expect. And everybody in that group, if they're here for the right reason, is going to be signing on for authenticity. Another A word is accountability. And again, this is something you're going to love and hate, because it's going to give you not just a feel-good place to be, but where somebody's going to look at you and challenge you to step up your game, to do your homework, to put things into practice. And again, it's a wonderful and terrible thing when it happens. But as you do that, you're going to find an increase in inspiration. Inspiration, because you're going to begin to see some transformation in yourself and the people around you. That is so inspiring. It is so cool from week to week to see people showing up and sharing how God is transforming them, making them new. Along with inspiration, you're going to get a lot of insight into what drives you, into what motivates you. You're going to get insight into the things that have wounded you and how they affected you in the past, how they affect you in your day-to-day life. And as you gain insight into your own life, you're going to grow in tenderness toward yourself and toward others. The saying is, to understand all is to forgive all. And as you begin to walk these steps, you're going to stop being so harsh and critical with yourself and with others. At the same time, you're going to be more tender. You're also going to encounter a new toughness. You're going to encounter that toughness with the people in your group who are going to be both, they're going to stroke you with one hand and punch with the other. Because they want you to be both comforted and challenged. They want you to experience both the tenderness and toughness of God so that you grow up in every way that he has for you. The H, of course, we can have the four H's, I think. There's lots of them. But probably the one of the ones that you're going to find most is humility. As you walk these steps, you're going to know more than ever before how really wretched you are. You know? Now, that doesn't sound like a good thing, but if you realize that that sense of wretchedness can connect you with every human on the planet, it's a great thing. Because the more you understand your own foibles and failures, the more you understand the ways that you have fallen short, the more easily you can embrace others, the more you can have a sense of humor. You've heard me say before probably that angels can fly because they take themselves so lightly. It's true. You know, I mean, we take ourselves so seriously that we get bogged down. But with humility, we can have a sense of humor. We can also experience a greater sense of honesty and hope as we walk these steps. The ultimate goal is another big H, is our healing. It's our ability to really experience God coming into our life of faith and healing us and bringing us to a place where we have a sense of wholeness and a sense of his goodness. Well, I want one of our own to come up here. Joe Haven is someone I have really come to respect in my time working with Restoration and Celebrate Recovery. Joe has 3 years of sobriety, and he's one of our group facilitators and leaders in Restoration. And I asked him in a conversation earlier today if he'd be willing to share a little bit about his take on the steps and what their meaning is for them. Why don't you just share just a moment about what brought you into this path of recovery, Joe?
Okay, Paul. Again, as Paul said, my name's Joe Haven. A little more than 3 years ago, my daughter was getting married, and my wife and daughter confronted me and said I had a decision to make. I was either going to do something about my drinking, or I wasn't going to be in the wedding. I was still going to pay for it. The wedding was still going to happen, but I wasn't going to be in it because, honestly, they couldn't trust that I would show up and be sober at it. And wouldn't mess it up for everybody. So that was a very motivating thing. God has a great way. I had not jeopardized my job. I had not, I was not about to lose my house. I wasn't living in a car under a bridge or, all the other things that I've talked to a lot of guys in recovery groups, and a lot of people are tougher than I am, I guess. I don't know. But that God knew exactly where to hit me for the one thing that I was not willing to give up. And that's what motivated me. And so I started looking for a way to solve that problem. Okay? I was not that interested really in stopping drinking. I was interested in solving a problem. I'm a problem solver. And so I was going to find a way to fix this problem, okay, which was making sure that everybody got off my, I've been drinking since I was 13. Both my mother and my father are alcoholics. My dad died of it a little over a year ago from liver cancer. My mother's been in recovery for going on 19 years now. So I was part of the intervention that got her into recovery. And yet I didn't see my own problem, or I just ignored it or denied it or whatever, all the classic symptoms. I can see it in somebody else, but I didn't see it in myself. In looking for a way to address this problem, I started, I tried a couple of different groups for a little bit, went to a different church because I've been a member of this church since we met over at the high school.
Wow.
And so that was part of my facade of I'm not all that bad because I still go to church and I do all these things, volunteer in the children's ministry. I do all these things, so I'm really not that bad of a guy, and I have got this one issue, one problem, yeah. Okay, and I had it under control. That's how I was lying to myself about it. And so when I had to do something about it, I came here. It was December of 2007, and My sobriety date is January 27th of 2008.
Wow.
So there was there was a period of time there where I was trying, I was faking it, and I was blessed in that in January of 2008, another one of the step studies started up, and it was the first time that they had done the Celebrate Recovery curriculum here at this church.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. But come to find out, it was the first time. Gordon, who, you know, had been a leader here for quite some time, led that group. There were that group literally opened my eyes to what recovery really was, what it meant, what it could be. It's a lot more than just not drinking.
Amen. Yeah, so what are some of the things, Joe, as you think back to those days when you came to solve a problem and got on a path that ended up taking you somewhere that was unexpected? What were the things that in encouraging people about what they might find along that path? What are some of the things that you found?
First thing I found, my particular instantiation of drinking was I had a garage that I loved to go to and would just hide out, okay? My family would go out to dinner. I would stay home. I would, you know, I was a stay in the garage and drink till I went to bed at night. And in that mode for so long, I had people I knew at work. I had family members. I had no friends. I had nobody that I talked to. I had no interpersonal interaction with anybody to speak of. I talked more with the guy at the liquor store than I did with just about anybody else. You know, we were good friends. We talked a lot. But the thing that the step study got me was a group of other guys who were being honest, being real, at least admitting that there was a problem that had to be addressed. And that was the first biggest step for me, was to admit that there really was a problem that I had to do something about. Wow. And then thinking, I was the only one, you know, we get all this, I'm so unique, I'm so different, I'm the only one that has this particular issue, this particular way, I'm not, you know, everybody else is different, they have all these other issues. And listening to the guys in the group and hearing the similarities, hearing how, you know, I didn't do that, but yet. That was the classic refrain is, I haven't done that yet. I haven't been there yet, but I could see the path that I was on. It was just a matter of time before those consequences, before those issues came home to roost because of my behavior, because of my activity. Yeah. And it wasn't my wife's fault. It wasn't my job stress fault. It wasn't all these other things that I like to use as excuses.
Yeah.
It was me and my behavior and decisions I was making. Cool. And the clarity that was brought to me in the step study through the structure of the steps. And that was the biggest thing is for me was having it laid out in little bite-sized pieces that we could walk through. It wasn't eat the elephant in one bite. It wasn't solve all your problems in the next 45 minutes and everybody goes home better.
Yeah.
I didn't get that way. You know, I was 45 years old when I came into recovery. So it wasn't something that I got to that point overnight. And it's not something that, you know, I'm 3 years. I figure I've got another 42 years to go to unwind all the mess that I made. So God's got to keep me here till I'm at least 90 to undo a lot of the mess that I created. So it's a matter of stepping through that process in a structured, controlled way. See, when I first got sober, when I decided to get sober, I went to go see my mom, who, like I said, is in recovery, and I started doing a ninth step, not even knowing what I was making amends. Okay?
Wow.
But that's the wrong time to do it. There's a reason there's steps, there's a reason there's 12, and there's a reason they're in an order. And, you know, so you can't start making amends before you've done some of the other things that should lead up to it. So she pointed that out to me.
Cool.
And so that was, you know, really my first introduction to the steps. I'd heard about them, but I'd never really done them.
Yeah.
And like I said, the way the curriculum's laid out. The other thing really in terms of the steps, I had been to a couple of AA meetings with my mom. You know, when she got her 5-year chip, she had, you know, I had 4 brothers. And so one of us would go with her 1 year and you know, when you got this chip or that chip. And I remember walking into those AA meetings going, this is a smoky, old, noisy, crabby bunch of people that I don't want to have anything to do with. And their steps obviously aren't working for them because they're miserable. Okay. There were a lot of cranky people in there, and I did not want to have anything to do with them. So when I started looking at steps and started the biblical 12 steps that are in these books that we've got back here, the difference was that it was the same steps, but it had all the meat on the bones that it should have had all along that they had to strip off to make it palatable to people who want to call God a higher power.
Yeah.
Okay. So He is God. He is my God. And I like being in a place where I can refer to Him by His proper name and not some other term. And so that made it much easier. I also use that as an excuse not for getting into AA or something for years is I don't want to fight the religion fight. I want to stick with, you know, my own plan, which wasn't working.
So any unexpected surprises along the way, anything that really sticks out to you that you just think, wow, I would not have expected this, or anything that you want to encourage people with?
Absolutely. The relationships that I built with the guys in that first step study, it's one of those things. First week, we had 35 people there for the first meeting. Second week, a little fewer. Third week, fourth week, fifth week. By the time you get through the first 3 steps, which with a group that large and the way we do it where you go around, it takes a long time to get through the first 3 steps. But you get to know the guys who are coming on a regular, guys or gals. I didn't get to know any gals. My wife is happy. But, you know, you get to know the people in your group. You get to know those people, and they get to know you. And when you get to the more intimate issues that come up in the 4th step, studying that, the 5th step, as you move through it, you're not doing your 4th step, 5th step there in it. You're learning how to do it. Mm-hmm. You're doing your 4th step with your sponsor, your 5th step with your sponsor outside. But it gives you a way to know what it is you're supposed to be doing. But the insight that you gain from what you do in your homework, and then you share what you've learned from it, and then the other guy shares something, and you go, wow, he must have been reading a different book because he got something completely different out of that question.
Yeah.
Or out of that Bible verse, or they and sometimes they're really off the wall, and you go, okay, I don't know where that came from, and you know, and you just let that be. But it is amazing the insight that you get into yourself. You go, I wish I'd thought of that, or he's been reading my mail. That's the thing that I kept thinking is, he's got a camera somewhere and he knows exactly what I did, or you know, and the reality is, that's God speaking to me through somebody, because he knows if he spoke to me directly, he'd scare me to death.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he speaks to me through other people in groups like that, where I get to hear what I need to hear through those kinds of situations, and learn. And I can trust what they're telling me because I know them now. I know who they are. I know what they've done, and they know what the guys in that group. There's 2 or 3 of them that were in that group. We made it all the way through. There were, I think, 4 or 5 of us that graduated out of the 30 plus that started, and that's pretty typical in terms of a completion ratio. You know, people drop out because they're not committed to it enough. They move. They work won't let them. Whatever. If you're part of that group that sticks it out, that makes the commitment, and it is a big commitment, and it is a lot of work, and it's not easy, and it's not fun, but the value that you get out of making it all the way through, and the like I said, the insight that you get into yourself, and the things that you learn in how to deal with all the stuff, as Dave likes to say, all the stuff we used to drink over, you know, that's all still there.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out a different way to deal with it, how to do it in a more constructive and hopefully more productive manner. That's what these steps provide you, is that kind of tool, that kind of tool set or abilities to deal with that stuff in a more constructive way, so that when you come out that other end, your junk doesn't seem as scary.
Yeah.
Because there's somebody else now, and you've got a sponsor, and you've shared that. But like I said, the guys that I made it all the way through with, they know more about me than my wife, than any of my brothers. And, you know, I've known my wife over 30 years. We were high school sweethearts, all the whole nine yards. But there is a lot of stuff that I will never tell her, that she doesn't need to know. Yeah. But I needed to share it with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
that's awesome.
And that gave me that opportunity to do that in a safe environment.
Beautiful. Anything else, any parting word, anything else that occurs to you want to say to people who may be on the fence about signing on for this?
Really, the biggest thing I would say is, if you're on the fence, if you're not decide, you know, if you can't decide whether this is something you really want to do or not, come and give it a try. Come for the first few weeks. Buy the first book. It's $7. You know, you don't have to buy all four of the books and come try it out. Buy the first book. Come to the first couple of weeks and just give it a chance. And in giving it a chance, don't sit on the back row and keep your mouth shut and expect a miracle to happen. Come, jump in, participate. Do your homework. Be prepared when you come in. Because you never know when that piece of thing that you think is just blatantly obvious, that it's so clear exactly what that's saying that it's not even worth mentioning, that's going to be the one piece that somebody else in that circle came there, God put you there to speak it to them, and you just don't know what impact you can have in somebody else's life by being there.
Amen. Thanks. Thank you so much, Joe. You know, so many of us are like Joe. We have a problem behavior, and we come because we want to deal with that behavior. But God has a much bigger plan. He doesn't want to just change our behavior. He wants to transform every aspect of our personality. He wants to invade every nook and cranny and change you, to bring light, to dispel the darkness, to give you a life worth living. At the middle of this word faith, the five letters, the middle letter is I. And I think one of the things that really spoke to me as you spoke, Joe, was that at the end of the day, what's so surprising about this path is that it opens us for a possibility for intimacy with God, with ourselves, and with others that we would never have thought possible. To be able to be known and to know and to be known is one of the greatest things. And in our life of faith, it's really what God invades our hearts to claim intimacy with us, to claim a relationship where we can know and be known. To know the Almighty God and to be known by Him is the greatest gift. And this path will help you to find God within yourself, to find God in your fellows, and to find God as He is and not as we would wish Him to be. So that's what's available. Hope many of you will consider signing on. Let's pray, and then Debbie will come up and share with us about the small groups. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us, that you invite us to this great adventure of life with you. And as Joe attested, it is not always a pleasant path. It is not pain-free, but it is full. It is rich with your presence and with your peace. And so, God, we come to you tonight. We ask for you to stir in our hearts a longing for more of you, that you would invade us. And if this path of the 12 steps is something that would give structure and focus for someone in this room, then stir their hearts with a longing to engage that path, to sign on and check it out, to find out if this will be an avenue in their walk of faith that will open up a greater sense of your presence and peace, a greater sense of intimacy with you, with self, and with others. Thank you for calling us to belong to you. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.